The news about measles has been everywhere this week, obsessing not just the medical and scientific community, but also national politics. Accusations have been flying. Parents have been calling each other names. It is not a debate just about health anymore. But this is an evidence-based program, so we're going to stick to the facts today and leave the vitriol and gotcha moments to others. Later, we'll be speaking with a lawyer and public health expert about the process of granting vaccination exemptions to some families. But let's begin with Dr. David Kimberlin. He's a professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and he's the president of the Pediatric Infectious Diseases Society. Welcome to Sound Medicine.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
To begin this discussion, just how easy is it to catch measles, and why?
It's extremely easy to catch measles. It's one of the two or maybe three most infectious agents that humans can get. Any one person who has measles is likely to spread it to about 20 other people. When somebody has measles and they cough and it kind of gets out there in the air, it can hang suspended in the air for up to 2 hours, which means that if someone has measles in a room, coughs, leaves the measles behind, leaves the room, then someone over the next hour or two going into that room who is susceptible to measles, who's not had the vaccine or had measles itself, can acquire the infection very, very easily.
So is it just simply coughing then that is the main means of transmission, or are there other ways?
It's mostly the secretions, and coughing gets the secretions out into the air around the person.
Okay, for 2 hours. That's a long shelf life, as they say.
It is, and especially when you consider that the person who had measles in that scenario to begin with is long gone. They're no longer in the waiting room in the doctor's offices. They're no longer in the airport terminal in a major city's airport.
Okay. And when are they the most contagious?
They're most contagious both before they come down with symptoms and during the time that they have symptoms. So unlike something like Ebola, where you're not contagious until you start having symptoms from the disease itself, measles can actually have likelihood of spread even before the symptoms occur. So the reason we're having these problems now is that most parents protect their children by getting them fully immunized. But increasingly, some parents decide not to. And it's not just the likelihood of what that percentage of parents who are not getting the vaccines for their children is across a large group. We're finding that it's small pockets of vaccine refusers in a given community can be relatively high, that the likelihood of not having immunizations in one particular neighborhood, for instance, can be pretty high. And when you get a disease that's as infectious as measles, it can find those susceptible people. It can winnow its way through a population and find exactly who is most at risk of acquiring measles, which is the people who should have gotten the vaccine to begin with. Now, it also can find people who are not able to get the vaccine, children who are under a year of age that are at risk of death from measles, they're at risk of permanent brain damage from measles, people with cancer, children with cancer who can't get the vaccine because their immune system is too weak. They're at the mercy of other parents doing the right things by other children so that measles does not get a foothold in a community and ultimately get spread to the weakest and the most vulnerable among us.
So, Dr. Kimberlin, are these incidents due solely to the anti-vaccine movement? I mean, are there any other factors involved?
Yes, it is related directly to people who choose not to get vaccinated. Now, you do have to have introduction of the virus, in this case, into a community. So there is the outside additional issue of other places in the world where measles has not been eliminated. In Europe, for instance, there have been a lot of folks that have turned their back on vaccines, including the measles vaccine. And what happened? Well, it's inevitable. The virus comes back. So France is having a huge measles outbreak. Switzerland has measles. Other Western European countries continue to see measles because people aren't having high enough vaccination rates.
I want to get back to vaccinations, but I do have to ask you about just treatments. I mean, we have more measles. Do doctors now have any new antiviral drugs or other tools to treat it that we didn't have in the pre-vaccine era?
No, there is no specific antiviral that treats measles. There's not any, even in the pipeline that I'm aware of with any pharmaceutical companies around the world. The data are not terribly strong here, but we know that if you have a child who is deficient in vitamin A, and they get measles, they can have a more severe disease. And so recommendations from the World Health Organization that are embraced as well by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the American Academy of Pediatrics would have us give vitamin A to a child who has measles. But that's not a treatment of the disease itself. That's just basically trying to shore up the body so it's less severely affected by this virus. You know, in the pre-vaccine era, 500 children a year in the United States died from measles, and many more were left permanently brain damaged from it. A lot got horrible pneumonia with it. It is an incredibly severe infection that can be prevented. It can be prevented with safe and effective vaccination.
And I think the fear is that we're heading towards that era again. How quickly are things going bad here in the United States in terms of measles outbreaks?
Well, I think we're at risk of sliding backwards, significantly sliding backwards. If measles regains a foothold, then it's the people who can't get vaccinated, the babies that are under a year of age and whom the vaccine doesn't work as well, who are at risk of dying. It's the children with cancer. They're going through enough. They don't need to have measles layered on top of that. They're battling leukemia or liver cancer or whatever it may be.
So I guess there's a lot of us who are baby boomers and just don't have a clue. I mean, we're guessing. I'm thinking I'm sure I probably had measles or I probably had a vaccine. I just don't remember. I mean, what do you advise for adults who want to make sure that they're protected and are protecting others?
It's a great question. And there's a couple of ways to answer it, I think. First, if you're born before 1957, it's virtually guaranteed that you had measles. So the CDC, and for that matter, the American Academy of Pediatrics, will view a person born before 1957 as being measles immune. And then after that, if you're born after 1957 and you're simply not sure about your status, but say you've got grandchildren and you want to do everything you can to protect your grandchild, which I fully support and applaud, there's no harm in getting a measles vaccine, even if you've already had them or if you already had measles. Measles is bad. Measles kills. Measles maims. But it doesn't have to be that way because we have a safe and an effective vaccine that can prevent measles. We need for everyone to get it who is eligible to get it. And if we have high enough vaccination rates, if more people do that, then the inevitable importations that occur because it's in other parts of the world will not find the fertile ground or the dry leaves, if you will, that the spark lights, and then it won't spread from person to person here in this country. But everyone has to do their part.
Dr. David Kimberlin, thank you so much for talking with me on Sound Medicine.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. David Kimberlin is president of the Pediatric Infectious Diseases Society and a professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
The cow got the measles and gave spotted cheese. We cut off the green spots to feed to the bees. The old copper kettle was home on the range. The cow got the measles and